We thank the Lord as we once again come before our various electronic gadgets to keep ourselves connected with one another in this moment, even though we may be physically separated, but we unite together as one people in worship and in praise and in the ponderance of God's word. I pray that all of us will remember to do our quiet time, that we will not treat this as a vacation. We do not have any idea what tomorrow is going to be like. I don't remember anything like that in my lifetime has ever happened. Since the days planes took off, this is about the first time that the skies are pretty much quiet. The seas has never been so quiet. There are no luxury vessels, cruisers, anything going on there, except essential transportation. There's never been a day where our causeway been so quiet, our streets are quiet, places of entertainment, parties, amusement, all has gone quiet. Even our community has become quiet. We have distanced ourselves from one another with concern. We have never experienced anything like this in our lives. But in the midst of this very gloomy, very uncomfortable, uncertain atmosphere, this day, Easter, reminds us of the Lord's resurrection. Reminds us that we're all going to be here for only for a while. It reminds us that there is a life beyond this life. And we ought to be very grateful. We didn't work for this. We didn't seek it. It came to us. God broke into our lives through the marvelous grace of God and gave us the resurrection power to rise up from our old ways and to live alive anew in Christ Jesus. Yes, we are not perfect, but this privileged position as children of God would have never been realized. If Christ had only died for mankind and there is no resurrection, then we would have no hope whatsoever. But he died for our sins and he rose again. So we will all rise, metaphorically speaking, from this situation that we are in, and one day we will see a new sunrise, a new dawn that will bring back life to all of us. Let us be effective. When there are opportunities to share the gospel, let us do so. Let me share this morning from the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 to 11, describing for us what actually happened on the night. A privileged few women who became the first witnesses of the resurrection, the reality of resurrection. Allow me to read to you Luke chapter 24. And now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful man and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Allow me to recount a little bit of the Good Friday before we go into the into the Easter message. Very briefly, the Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross approximately at 9 a.m. on Friday, according to Mark chapter 15, verse 33, at 9 a.m. By 3 p.m., by the same chapter, in the afternoon of the same day, Christ died. Our Lord's friends and disciples, like Joseph of Arimathea, secured permission from Pilate and came along Nicodemus. They claim the body of Christ so that they can give him proper burial. They wrapped it in burial linens and laid it in a tomb. But there was no time for the burial ritual. The Jewish Sabbath was only a few hours away, and no Jew will touch a dead body on the Sabbath, for it would make that person ceremonially unclean and prohibit him or her from participating in the Sabbath observance. When the Sabbath day is over, early on Sunday morning, devout women went to Jesus' tomb with spices and ointment. Out of respect, love, and honor, they wanted to perform the formal rites associated with burial. But when they arrived at the tomb, they found that the massive stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And when they entered the tomb, they did not find Jesus' body. Two angelic messengers informed them that Jesus Christ had risen as he had spoken before. They were first to discover the reality of resurrection. The women jubilantly rushed as fast as they could back to where the disciples were meeting to declare that Christ has risen. They were the first to discover, indeed, this much important message. Brethren, because of the COVID, the whole world is like going through Good Friday experience, which the apostles and disciples of Jesus Christ underwent 2,000 years ago. The atmosphere was dull, gloom, and depressing. Imagine a local researcher discovered a medical breakthrough to destroy this COVID infection. That news will be Easter for the world. The word will be celebration and it will appear on all headlines. That's how excited these women were when they knew that Christ is not dead and gone, but he is risen and very much alive. It was a huge breakthrough in that dark, depressing, all hope gone kind of a setting. And they can't wait. You cannot imagine how fast the women must have run to bring the news. Sadly, the disciples had a strange response to the women's message. Their words seemed to them as idle words. Several other versions translate it as they considered what they said as nonsense. And therefore, they did not believe them. The expression of the word idle words came from the Greek medical writers who used it to describe the babbling of a fevered, insane mind, right? Somebody who is taken by illness and is in high fever, and the person's mind has gone bonkers, and everything that person says doesn't make any sense. The disciples were not convinced of the resurrection. Brethren, today many people, our loved ones, relatives, friends, classmates, colleagues, even our neighbors whom we bump into almost every day, do not believe, perhaps, in the resurrection. The gospel accounts seem to be idle words to many out there in the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that preach foolishness, but unto us which were saved, it is the power of God." Yes, to the world, the cross doesn't mean anything. It's nonsense. A person who is dead rose again, that cannot be true. It's fable, it's a story of the past. There is nothing much in there. But you know, Paul said, but to us is the power of God. Let me share three points. The reality of resurrection. Three points from the passage you read. That one is personal experience. Second is testimony of scriptures. And third is transformed lives, right? Transformed lives. Personal experience. Let us look at the first one. Nothing can be more convincing than a personal experience. Since the empty tomb and hearing the angelic messengers words convinced the woman the reality of resurrection. They needed no apologetic proof to convince them or to persuade others that Jesus was alive. The Romans sought to nullify the Lord's resurrection. Matthew wrote in Matthew 28, verses 12 to 13, "And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." And there are a lot of people out there in the world who believe this rumor, who believe this fabrication more than the gospel truth. The Jews used treachery to arrest Jesus. Then they tried him illegally on false charges. Now Jesus' enemies use bribery to silence the news of his resurrection. Yet not any of the machination of malicious people could suppress the risen Lord. Bribery could not silence the news about him. The Roman guards could not contain our Lord in the cave. Jesus presented himself alive to the people then. They experienced him personally. He met with them, ate with them, and taught them. These personal experiences of the risen Lord furnished conclusive evidence of his resurrection from the dead. Brethren, we are convinced of the reality of Jesus' resurrection by having personal experience with the Lord. When we open our lives to the risen Christ, we can testify our experience walking with him and he living in our lives. The Lord walks with us in all seasons of our lives. He guides us in our times of difficulties. We experience his comfort, grace, and strength in our times of pain and losses. He provided timely, faithfully to all our needs. Undoubtedly, we enjoy his loving kindness daily in our lives. We know everything that happens in our lives, everything that we are and we have, is not by chance, but it was through, it is, and it will be, and it has been, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our personal experience gives us the privilege to testify. That's what testimony, more times of testimony, is all about, where people come and share their personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why testimonies are very, very powerful. And you find these testimonies throughout the Old Testament and also in the book of Acts. The second point I want to draw your attention to is the testimony of Scripture. Another convincing factor of Jesus' resurrection is the testimony of Scripture. When the women came to the tomb, the angelic messengers reminded them of Jesus' promise of resurrection. Throughout the New Testament, there are numerous references to it. The New Testament gives a unified testimony. The Gospel relates, the Gospels, all the four Gospels, relate in a simple narrative the event of Jesus' resurrection. The book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, all right, in verse 32 says, "This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." There is another verse that says in Acts as well, and that is in Acts chapter 9, verse 5. It says, "Who art thou, Lord?" This is the conversion experience of Saul. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And there you are. It's very clearly, it is our Lord Jesus Christ, a living Lord Jesus Christ, talking to Saul even after his death. As we read Acts, we notice numerous testimonies regarding the risen Christ. Besides the Gospels, the various New Testament letters give a unified witness of Jesus' resurrection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, right? In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 5. It's a long, and he said, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, and the third day according to the Scriptures," again a second repetition there, "and that he was seen by Peter, then of the 12. The Apostle Paul said, mentioned it, right? The Apostle Peter mentioned in 1 Peter 1:3, he made very clear the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, the last line, all right? John recorded the words of the risen Lord. He said in Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive from evermore, forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." There you go. Scriptures, supporting scriptures, Gospels, The letters written by the apostles confirms again and again, testifies again and again the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Several other unique factors can be seen in the New Testament accounts of Jesus' resurrection. The folded clothes prove that Jesus' body had not been stolen. If the body was stolen, then the clothes must have gone with the body, but nobody would just take off the clothes and just carry the body. So it disproves the fact that the body indeed was not stolen. The scripture also clearly records that Jesus had scars on his body where he has been nailed to the cross. This is a very powerful testimony where Thomas had difficulty to accept that the resurrection is really happened. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hands to his side, I will not believe." All right? And he went on to say, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Be not faithless, but believing. Praise and thank God for God giving us the ability to believe the resurrection. I just want to pause here and say, you might be wondering, how come I believed the resurrection where there are hundreds and thousands of people who ignore, who reject, who will not entertain the idea of resurrection, even in Jesus' days? Ephesians 2 tells us that the very faith is from God. God called us even before the foundation of the world, called us by name, called us as individuals, called us that we may be saved, and he saved us. And that saving grace, verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2 tell us, is everything is of God. The grace, the faith, the opportunity, and for us to reach out and exercise that faith, the strength, the psychological grace is of God. Further down that very chapter, it tells us, so that no man will stand before God and boast that he worked it out all in his mind and he knew that this is the truth. No. We actually understood the truth a lot better much later than at the moment of receiving Christ. Many of us are like that. So it is by the grace of God that we have received and believed the resurrection. This clearly, all that we have seen clearly establishes the evidence of his identity, in the case especially with Thomas. Furthermore, his words and actions are recorded by Scripture, testifying that the Christ who died on the cross was truly alive. If you desire to learn of the reality of Jesus' resurrection, make a serious study of the Scriptures. The Bible will convince you of the reality of the risen Lord. He is alive. Not that I said, or I believe, because the Bible says so, and therefore I believe. Thirdly, I want to highlight the transformation of people testifies the power of resurrection. When we observe how the risen Christ transformed people, we do not doubt the reality of resurrection. Jesus made a difference in the lives of the first century disciples. The news of Jesus' resurrection changed the attitudes of Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Jesus changed their temperament. That's the first change that happened, isn't it? A change of temperament. Before the resurrection, the disciples were fearful, disillusioned, disappointed, and depressed. But the risen Christ transformed their temperaments. Jesus can also change the feeling of modern disciples, helping them to overcome disappointment and fear. How fittingly, in a time like this, where we are not sure who will be the next to pick up the COVID virus, who will be next identified as positive, who would be next to be admitted in hospital, and what would be the outcome be? We don't live by fear. We live by faith. Yes, though we live by faith, we are responsible people. But there are a lot of things, even how responsible you can be. There are people that you walk in the midst who are not as responsible as you are. And that can put us into trouble. So at the end of the day, our life is in God's hand. But we don't live daily by fear, because our life is not here alone. Our life is beyond this earthly life. To further establish the point, Jesus also dispelled doubts. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas was absent. They told him of Jesus' appearance, but Thomas doubted the resurrection. It seemed far-fetched to him. After 7 days, Jesus ministered, especially to Thomas, dispelling doubts. In today's world, numerous people find the news of the risen Christ unbelievable. Yet Christ is able to minister to them by His Holy Spirit and by His Word, dispelling their doubts as it did for Thomas. In a pandemic situation as we are in, you have no idea how this can help to dispel the doubts that people had. Perhaps, is there a life beyond this life? Or looking, staring at the possibility of death. It may make some people reconsider the gospel again. It may bring feet going towards the church again. It may set minds to think about the Lord again. And the seeds that were sown by faithful evangelists, ambassadors of Christ, may start working in the hearts of these people who want something a lot more convincing. The risen Christ gives meaning and purpose to life. The apostles, though Jesus was the Old Testament Messiah, basically, their messianic concept was political. When Jesus did not restore Israel as in the days of David and reign as an earthly king, they lost their direction in life. But after his resurrection, Jesus taught them the real meaning of following him. No greater trouble affects our world today than meaninglessness. In the light of the COVID-19, thousands have become depressed by the pandemic, for they live their lives under the sun. Only believers live their lives in Christ, in the risen Christ, and they live above the sun. And because we put our faith in the risen Lord, there is meaning and purpose that will not be in any way changed by any changing situation in this world. Well, it is noteworthy here to highlight the advisory pastor, Pastor Philip Heng, has worked out an acronym for COVID. He has put some thoughts to it. I think it's worth sharing. COVID, COVID. And this is how he has put it together. C stands for Christ. O for omnipotent. Christ is all-powerful. V is victorious. I stands for in death. Christ, who is omnipotent, is victorious in death, And there could be nothing greater enemy, there could be nothing anyone is fearful of in this time, is but death. But blessed are everyone who put their faith in the Lord. Let me conclude by saying, Jesus' resurrection is a reality. If there is no resurrection, Paul said, our faith is in vain. We are yet in our sins. All the dead Christians are gone without hope of eternal life. And we have hope only in this life. Then we are a miserable bunch of people living on this planet. And that's 1 Corinthians 15. Brethren, have you the risen Christ as your personal Savior? If you do, you are indeed a blessed person. But if you don't, simply talk to someone and seek how you may receive Christ to be your personal Savior. So we saw this morning the reality of resurrection. First point, our personal experience, our day-to-day. We know Christ is risen. Christ is real, real in our own lives. And then the scriptures from page to page, from section to section, confirms. Of course, we have not gone into the Old Testament. Old Testament points to the coming of Christ and his death and resurrection. And the New Testament, plainly, beyond any shadow of doubt, hammers away the fact that Christ has risen. And then we can see how the risen Christ have transformed every one of us. Yes, we are not completely new creatures. God is still working in our lives. But we know that we were not what we used to be before we became Christians. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this Easter morning. Great and wonderful morning. Lord, though this day we could not do all that we planned to do for Easter, we pray, Father, that all of us would have breath and life to celebrate the next Easter with gratitude and thanksgiving in a new and better setting. Lord, to glorify our Lord and celebrate the risen Lord in our lives. Bless all of us this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.